You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio for this Friday. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, big show today. Governor Mike Huckabee is going to weigh in on the John Kerry Iran-Israel mess. Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation will examine the Biden education proposals. Monica Crowley is going to go after the tax incentives and raising that the Biden administration is doing. And we start with breaking news from Just the News is John Solomon. Stay here.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
It is a gorgeous Friday, and that means that a lot of people are checking out for the weekend already. But don't do that yet. We've got big stories to cover this hour and great experts on to discuss the intricacies of all of them. Very honored to have my entire lineup today. But John Solomon is the founder of Just the News, and he's the longtime newsman. He's written for everybody, reported for everybody, helped start a lot of the new media outlets that were out there, and now he's taken it one level more with Just the News in ways that I wish the rest of the media complex would understand is necessary if we're going to get honest reporting back into the mainstream. But always honored to have John Solomon with us. John, thank you for being here. First off, and I want to hit this right up front, people have noted that there was some disagreement between former Vice President Pence and former President Trump. You're reporting exclusively at Just the News that they seem to have patched the relationship and made up and are talking again and working together. What are the details?
Yeah, this is big news, and it's big news for the entire movement, because you never want friction among two people who were literally side by side for 4 years in the fight.
And did so, such a great job in those 4 years together.
And created a remarkable record. And having seen it a few times, they had a really great relationship behind the scenes. People don't realize the humor, the levity, and the endearment that both had for each other, even in moments of crisis. And I think, you know, the election broke a lot of relationships, and it broke the relationship to some degree with Vice President Pence and Donald Trump. But we had Keith Kellogg on my podcast this morning, the John Solomon Reports podcast, and he was the final national security advisor for Vice President Pence, and before that he was the chief of staff for President Trump's National Security Council. So he stood between both men, really respected for his national security knowledge. And at the end of my podcast, you know, I asked him, will these two guys ever, you know, mend the fences and get back together? He said, it's happened. President Trump reached out recently as Mike Pence was having his pacemaker put in, made sure he's okay. They're talking. I think the relationship is back on track. That's big news, because you never want to head into 2022 with two of your most prolific fundraisers, two of your most prolific communicators at odds with each other. And I think for conservatives, this is really good news. And for Democrats, it takes away a good story of dissension in the ranks. So it's a big moment. And if it plays out as planned, we'll probably see them together at some point.
Well, John Solomon, there's been some discussion over the last few days that there are people in McConnell's ranks within the Senate chamber that may be considering runs for president. There's obviously been, you know, the Never Trumpers have always been there, but they've kind of petered in and out at different times, and they've never really played much of an important role. But you've had former administration personalities like Nikki Haley and others that did not end well, wanted to make up. That was not welcomed, and I think that they've injured some of their own political potential. With Mike Pence and Donald Trump not only getting along but working together again, there is a real unifying, traditional Republican and Trump Republican peace that is made there. That kind of shuts out the lanes for other people to get in there and to make a lot of noise, doesn't it?
It could very well. I mean, in a lot of ways, Pence was to Trump what George Bush was to Ronald Reagan. And you know, it sewed the party together after a fractious a primary. Of course, Pence didn't really run against Trump, but he endorsed
Cruz.
Up. He had, and he brought, you know, he represented a different part of the party in a different style, too. I mean, Mike Pence is soft-spoken and cerebral, and President Trump has all that energy, and he has that constant anger about the way American people are treated by their government. So they really were a yin and yang team, and it worked really well, and it unified the party for 4 years. And, you know, this is Trump's party now. I think I wrote a story after the Seek Back speech where I said, Democrats are running against Donald Trump in 2024, whether it's Donald Trump or someone else on the ticket, because the America First agenda, the Donald Trump agenda, Trumponomics, the Trump foreign policy doctrine is the policies and values of this current Republican Party. And the old Country Club Republican Party has waned a little bit.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what impact this has on the rest of the Republican leadership. For instance, how does Mitch McConnell fare in an environment in which Mike Pence and Donald Trump have made up?
Yeah, no, that's great. You can't triangulate between the two anymore when they're united again. And I think politically that has some impact. But listen, there's still a free-for-all. Anyone who thinks that 2024 is decided right now doesn't know. I mean, I think if Donald Trump's in, the polling shows he wins by a landslide on the Republican side. But, you know, there are going to be other people that are going to come in. There are issues of aging and health and other events that might occur. And, you know, the field really won't shake itself out until after the 2022 election. What I think is true about everyone, whether you're Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, whoever you are, there isn't a Republican I haven't talked to that doesn't feel like the only thing they need to be focused on right now is 2022 and taking back Congress, because it becomes the stop sign to all of this liberal agenda that Joe Biden is very successfully getting implemented. I mean, you've got to give Joe Biden credit. He's getting it done. They need something that can yell stop and make it stop. And that's the 2022 election. Then I think the 2024 election will shake itself out afterwards. But I do see a unified front. And, you know, here a lot of people are saying that that 2022 could be the perfect storm. It feels like Jimmy Carter, 79, and Newt Gingrich, 93. The Republicans are coming together. They've got an ideas base. They took the beating from the election, and they intended not to have it again. And they have a president who's older, maybe appeasing to Iran, has potential inflation and other concerns in the economy. And I think most Republicans, even if they disagree with each other on 2024, they see 2022 as an extraordinary opportunity of a Carter-like Biden presidency and a Newt Gingrich-like revolution in Congress. And if that were to happen, a lot of the bygones of 2019, 2020, who offended who will go away. There's nothing like winning to make everybody a happy team.
it solves a lot of problems, actually, when you focus on winning. Speaking of McConnell, you've got another story up that says that he's telling the Education Department to halt proposed curriculum changes on the 1619 project. This is, of course, the basis for critical race theory, and this is the way of getting it right into the schools. But what power does the minority leader in the Senate have to tell the Ed Department what to do?
So it's good politics, right? Because there's a lot of people in America that don't want that 1619 mindset that so much is wrong with America. We should be ashamed of our history. And for, you know, true academics who have reviewed the 1619 project, it has some very serious factual accuracy problems. I mean, they're just actual facts and statements that aren't true when you go through the historical evidence of the time. So it's a winning issue because you can argue that we shouldn't be teaching students things that aren't based in fact. A lot of people don't like this anti-America, woke liberalism agenda being imposed on their children. So it's good politics to open up the fight. And McConnell has been a little slow on this culture fight. Usually Mitch McConnell's pretty good on the culture fight. He's a little slow, but now he's picking up. But Mitch McConnell usually doesn't pick a fight in the minority unless he's got something in his back pocket. So one of the things that I wonder when we look at this is he may already know that a Kristen Sinema or her colleague in Arizona or Joe Manchin, three Democrats in very red-like states, that they may already be on board with this, and that as soon as Biden picked a fight on this, he's going to snap in three Democrats and cause a problem. And so, you know, Mitch McConnell is a very careful strategist when it comes to the parliamentary tactics of the Senate. Love him, hate him, whatever you think of him, he knows the Senate rules as well as anyone. And he probably doesn't pick a fight in the minority if he knows he's going to instant loser. So he probably knows he's got some Democrats in his back pocket in those swing states, and that this could eventually box in Joe Biden. You're going to have to pick now. Do you want to offend Joe Manchin? in Kristen Sinema, or do you want to let this one go? And it may very well be that the game of bluffery that McConnell's done here may stop the 1619 project because Joe Biden doesn't want to pick a fight. He can't win tonight. Not when it's 50-50.
That would be incredible, actually, if he is successful in that regard, because I really view the 1619 Project as a very big danger to our young people. John Solomon, justthenews.com, and of course his latest book called Fallout. You want to get to all of that, buy all of them, read all of them, read everything that he does. Follow him on Twitter at jsolomonreports, because it is the best news follow that you can find on the internet. John, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Have a great weekend.
Kevin McCullough coming right back with Dr. Monica Crowley. Don't go anywhere.
Pillar College is excited to announce its 9th annual National Day of Prayer. Join Pillar College virtually on May 6th at 8:45 a.m. featuring the renowned pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church. Go to pillar.edu/National Day of Prayer to RSVP.
My community means everything to me. That's why I joined the Army National Guard. I'm proud of where I'm from, and as a soldier, I get to give back to the people that helped me succeed. The training and leadership skills I get from the Army National Guard help me every day when I teach young people and look out for my community. If you'd like to learn how you, too, can serve part-time in the community you love, visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard, aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Ask Sister Jean live gospel broadcast is praying for you. Sister Jean invites you to call in your prayers every Sunday from 5 until 6 p.m. at 718-653-7970. Keep prayer on the air with your donations to Sister Jean at 718-653-7970. Is there something you need prayer for? The Bible quotes in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." If you have a prayer request, call Sister Jean at 718-653-7970, and Sister Jean will pray for you, your families, your job, your struggles and troubles. Sister Jean's live pray call-in broadcast is Sundays from 5 until 6 p.m. Ask Sister Jean wants to pray for you. To keep prayer on the air live with Sister Jean, please send your donations by calling 718-653-7970 and tune in at 5 p.m. this Sunday for the Ask Sister Jean live call-in your prayers gospel broadcast on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Download the AM 570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
Hey everyone, it's Debbie Biskey from the Bridge Women's Center, and I am super excited for our second annual gala on May 13th at the Meadowood in Randolph, New Jersey. The state of New Jersey is opening up more and more, and we anticipate additional capacity will be opened up as we get closer to the event. Our keynote speaker is Governor Mike Huckabee, a huge pro-life advocate. So join us to celebrate life and help support our pro-life mission to raise funds for our second mobile unit. You don't want to miss the event, so go buy your tickets at bridgewomencenter.com, and I'll see you on May 13th.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. The Bridge Women's Center gives support to women and families with unintended pregnancies. They also provide support after birth and counseling. Be sure to attend the Women's Gala on May 13th to support the Bridge Women's Center and buy tickets to the benefit. COVID guidelines will be followed. Go to bridgewomencenter.com. That's bridgewomencenter.com. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
When the world says to man up, they're talking about things you can see. Money, status, social media followers. What does God say? To be a man and rise up in society, you can't leave God out of it. It's the difference between good and great. See, greatness isn't achieved, it's demonstrated every single day. Legacy is a million middle moments done well. In his sequel to the best-selling Kingdom Man, Tony Evans' Kingdom Men Rising challenges men to overcome the obstacles in their way in order to leave a legacy of influence. Get the book Kingdom Men Rising to discover how you can do just that. Find out more at TonyEvans.org. Also makes a great gift.
Get the new sequel to Kingdom Man, Kingdom Men Rising from Tony Evans, a book that will teach men to man up in society God's way, demonstrating greatness every single day. Kingdom Men Rising, new from Tony Evans, sponsored by The Urban Alternative.
When you need legal assistance, call Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. They'll show you care and compassion. 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, we're still kind of wading through the dearth of information that Joe Biden gave us on the Wednesday night speech to the State of the Union. Yet to come, Charmaine Yost is going to be here. We're going to talk about the focus on the educational part of the budget specifically. And a little bit later on, Governor Mike Huckabee will be in. He's got some very strong thoughts, not just about the Biden performance, but also this week that stuff about John Kerry and Iran and Israel and like what all of that entailed. And we'll get his perspective on some of those things. But next, I want to turn to the former spokesperson for the Department of Treasury. She was the voice and public face for Secretary Mnuchin on all of his press opportunities. And she is a long time respected voice in talk radio, particularly here in New York City. And she has held her own in the world of written editorial, former editor for, I believe it was the Washington Times, and freelance contributor to a wide variety of places. But now you can read some of her stuff at The Hill. And Dr. Monica Crowley is back with us. Dr. Crowley, your resume is so long, I'm having a hard time getting it all in before we get to what I want to talk about.
It's Kevin, always... You're very kind. It's so nice to be with you. And, you know, after that intro, I think I've got to take you with me everywhere I go.
There you go. There you go. Hey, you've always been, you know, between the legal element and the money element, you've always helped connect dots for people and put things together. And I appreciated what you wrote about in The Hill this last week, because you really did translate what he was saying into what it means for Main Street USA. Small business starts 2 out of every 3 new jobs in the country. But what is the outlook if Biden's plan goes forward?
Well, thank you. And it's great to be here. And yes, my piece ran this week at The Hill, and I also posted it on my Instagram at @MonicaCrowley_. So you can read it there as well. So President Biden came forward this week with this speech with grandiose plans to check off pretty much every left-wing wish item that the left has wanted for decades. And his proposals cost, at least so far, about $6 trillion, with a T, $6 trillion. $2 trillion they've already spent in the initial quote-unquote COVID relief bill, very little of which actually had to do with COVID relief. And then this week, he proposed about $4 trillion more dollars in new spending, having to do with infrastructure, although very little with infrastructure, and what he calls a jobs bill, which isn't really a jobs bill. These are all left-wing wish lists that they're trying to ram through while they still have the majority through November of next year, when we have another election. So you have to, on some level, give the Democrats their due, because when they're in power, Kevin, they actually act like they're in power. They
right.
exercise full power. That's what they're doing here. The question is, how do we pay for this? President Biden came out and said, well, we're going to tax the rich more. We're basically going to raise taxes, but only on the rich and large corporations. That is not true. Yes, of course, they're going to target wealthier and higher income individuals and companies with a higher corporate tax rate. Also, capital gains going through the roof, according to their proposals. But they're not going to stop there, because the real money is with the middle class. The real money is with small businesses, as you point out, big drivers of this rather robust recovery that we're in. So they are going to have to go for the money that is sitting there, because you could actually do confiscatory taxes for every wealthy individual and every major company and still only pay for a fraction of this spending. So they are coming for you and me with a riot of new taxes, which is actually going to have the effect of crushing job creation, lowering wages, and driving prices up for you and me on practically everything.
I've never understood this element of Democratic fiscal policy because, as you just pointed out, you could tax the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% in America 100% of their income, of all of their earnings. You could boost their capital gains to unbelievably historic high levels, and you wouldn't come up with 10% of what they're proposing to spend. And at the end of the day, if the bulk of America doesn't understand that what they're trying to give you for free is going to cost you everything that you have and more, it's not really good to get for free. And I wish that, you know, there was some voice in the media that would give the honest assessment of this. You know, there was a time, Monica, and I'm growing old in saying this week. There was a time where Republicans and Democrats could acknowledge that a problem existed, and then they would say, we disagree on the solutions to get to solving that problem. It seems as though now we live in different complete universes, and they say the problems that actually exist aren't real problems, and the problems that they want you to pretend exist are the only ones that they talk about. And of course, the only solutions to it are things that they bring to the table. So, you know, it's like Al Gore and global warming. You know, yes, I'm going to make an entire career out of global warming, and then I'm going to invent tax credits and a company that will take them so that you can do credit offsets. And he gets rich off of a supposed problem that he couldn't prove existed. This is the same thing that the Biden's doing, but it's not just in one area. It's in everything they touch.
That's correct. You're describing the swamp to a T. And, you know, the really dangerous thing, and it's absolutely deliberate on the part of Biden and the Democrats, they are trying to get more and more folks in the middle class addicted to these government entitlements and handouts. That's why you see in these latest proposals, new entitlements, even though we can't afford the existing entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all this stuff is going bankrupt relatively soon. We can't afford that, but he's proposing new entitlements that reach right into the middle class, because expanding dependency on government is key to their strategy. The strategy is to achieve and lock in one-party rule, expand government power, and reshape the relationship between the government, the economy, and the individual. And expanding government dependency is all critical to that.
Right.
That's why they're pushing this massive spending, new entitlements, and they're reaching for you and me. They're reaching for the middle class to try to get us seduced into going along with these
right.
permanent entitlements with no way except taxing us to death to pay for it.
Well, if you look at Venezuela, if you look at Cuba, if you look at places where this stuff has all been tried, eliminating the middle class is key to the success of what they have to try to accomplish. And it certainly appears they're following the same playbook here. Dr. Monica Crowley, always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much.
Always a joy to join you, Kevin. Thanks.
Follow her on Instagram, Monica Crowley _, and read her latest piece there or in The Hill. Biden's tax hikes will hurt the little guy and kill Trump's opportunity economy. When we come back, a look at education. Stay with us.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that's found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey, ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women, talcum powder. For decades, studies show that talcum contains asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product this May after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer. Talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Butterfuco and Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Butterfuco and Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Hi, this is Kevin Cottrell. When you walk into Samson Funeral Service, you feel the comfort in the air. Samson Funeral Service is different than any other funeral home.
Hello, WMCA listeners. I'm Ernest A. Samson III. The loss of a loved one can leave you with lots of unanswered questions, feelings of stress and anxiety and grief. We will guide you through the funeral process with compassion, dignity, and respect. You can call on us any day, anytime. We will take care of you every step of the way, from funeral arrangements to the service and to grief counseling referrals if needed. It is my commitment to reassure you in your time of need that we are more than a funeral home. We are hope and help for you.
Samson Funeral Service is located in Brooklyn at 2601 Pitkin Avenue. Call 718-277-8000 to make arrangements. That's 718-277-8000. Samson Funeral, where the legacy continues.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently.
Give my office a call today. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare contract or you'll pay nothing.
Get the facts. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-881-4242. That's 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. She fights to protect America's heritage. Heritage Foundation Vice President of the Institute for Family, Community, and Opportunity, Dr. Charmaine Yost, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, as the Friday rolls on, so glad to have you with us. And yet to come, Governor Mike Huckabee yet to be with us and get his thoughts on a few things for the day. My final thought as well, straight ahead. But before we get there, I wanted to turn to the Heritage Foundation's aforementioned Charmaine Yost. And Charmaine, there was a time where you and I would either be tagging each other on Twitter, or we would be texting each other with funny things and observations about State of the Union addresses. This one continues to be, I don't know, in by my measure, very unsuccessful on so many levels, just from the standpoint that it didn't address middle America and certainly didn't seem to embrace typical traditional American ideas. But when it comes to the education portion of what he wants to do, you've got some very specific thoughts on that, and I was hoping you'd share them with us today.
Well, you know, Kevin, it's just mind-boggling to me. It seems like every other day we wake up to headlines about some new, which is not new at all, some old leftist proposal that the Biden team is rolling out that they want to push through under cover of claiming to address the pandemic. And the education system is no different. The American Families Plan that he rolled out on Wednesday night with his speech, the price tag for the education portion alone was $748 billion with a B. And that's more than 10. Yeah. I mean, that's more than 10 times what the annual budget for the Department of Education, the federal Department of Education, is already alone in its entirety. Kevin, did these people not take Economic 101? Are they planning to just go print off money in the basement? It's really kind of mind-boggling to me that we're not having a serious conversation about where this money is going to come from.
Well, it seems like, and I think you hit it on the head, that, but it's not just money reality, it's reality. You know, there's no need for Congress because everything's going to be done executive order style. There's no need for the courts because we can just pack them. There's not going to be any accountability, so we can pretty much do whatever we want. And yeah, who's to say that we can't, you know, create a gazillion billion dollars for whatever we want in the next go around? And you know, Charmaine, I've been saying this a lot this week on the air. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when Democrats and Republicans disagreed about things. But it was because they disagreed, you know, on certain like methodologies to solutions, not necessarily about whether or not the problem actually existed. What we are getting from the progressive Joe Biden administration that seeks to be, you know, the most radical on everything out there is that it's a different reality that they're addressing altogether. And it is not one that is rooted in middle America, you know, the independence of this nation. Center right, center left. These are things that they're putting forward that seem to only satisfy that very small niche on his far left that seems to be kind of like the loudest bar in the drunk, so to speak.
Well, I really appreciate you underscoring the fact that it's not entirely about the money, because I think that as conservatives, we can fall into this trap of making it seem like that's our central focus. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, going to your point about defining the problem, is that if money would solve the problem, that would be one thing. But, you know, staying focused here for a minute on education, what frustrates me is that they're talking about the same old, same old. Lyndon Johnson in 1964 right. said he was going to solve childhood poverty with education. And since then, that started federal involvement in what had been local education. Since then, we've spent over $2 trillion with a T. And you know what's happened to all of the metrics on education? They've stayed completely flat. The gap between a more affluent students and lower income students has stayed the same, and it amounts to a difference of about 4 years of learning. We haven't improved anything with that ghastly amount of money. And so that's what's frustrating to me when I hear the Democrats, when I hear the president stand up and say, hey, we're going to roll out this program and that program and the other program, and we're going to spend billions of dollars more on top of the trillions that we've already spent. When in actual fact, there are real systemic problems in our education system, and they're not talking about them.
Yeah. Well, and if you had a fair press that would ask some of the intellectually honest questions that you're raising, they would be able to get those, you know, things answered. But what do you have from the press following the speech the other night? Brian Williams saying, oh, it was like Roosevelt. He was and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not even convinced that Roosevelt did good things. But like, come on, let's have some degree of assessment here. Ideas that lead towards solutions actually have outcomes, and what we're asking for are proof that the outcomes are going to work better as they go along. Charmaine, I know that Heritage is working on this stuff all the time. Do you guys have any specific resources that you're recommending for people that are trying to stay more informed on not just the educational spending, but the other things that the Biden administration is putting out?
You know, thank you for asking, because I would really encourage people. Our analysts have just went really, really hard in digging into the details of the president's proposal. And there's a lot of stuff on heritage.org for people to find, you know, the rest of the story, as it were.
Cool. Heritage.org. Charmaine Yost, always appreciate you being with us. Thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Heritage.org for all of the resources of the Heritage Foundation. When we come back, Governor Mike Huckabee, her former boss, because she's my former boss. It's old boss week when we continue on Kevin McCullough Radio.
This is Lon Hee-Chen of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina gave a powerful speech this week responding to President Biden's address to Congress. Scott's message was simple. Republicans want to work together with Biden to solve some of our country's most significant challenges. But so far, the reaction by Democrats has been to go it alone. The substance was good, but what made Scott's message so compelling was that it included his personal story, how he came to the policy views he has, the political perspective he holds, and why he chose a career in public service. Scott doesn't fit the narrative of what some think a typical Republican looks and sounds like. That's good. because the conservative movement has a lot more texture and diversity than the mainstream media or the progressive left would like you to believe. What Scott was able to do was to earnestly convey his story and views in a way that people could relate to. We could use a lot more of that in our politics, to be sure. I'm Lon He Chen.
The Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, preparing public leaders for tomorrow.
What does your perfect wedding day look like? I'll bet you've imagined it over and over again. The crisp spring air, the fresh grass giving way beneath you as you walk towards your future. Hi, I'm Jackie Dorman. I'm inviting you to join me in my free Married in 12 Months challenge, where I'll teach you why now it's your time to find love and the tools to become a bride. Just sign up for my free Married in 12 Months 5-day challenge at lovestories.com. The challenge begins April 22nd at lovestories.com.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Are you scared of dental surgery? Unhappy with your smile? Tired of partial dentures? Then ZX27 glass abutment is for you. Only offered at M&M Dental in the heart of Brooklyn, it's a unique European non-surgical FDA-approved procedure, giving patients back their confidence and smile. Here to explain is Dr. Seltzer.
Hi, thanks for having me here today.
Now tell us a little bit about the ZX27.
Sure. ZX27 is a revolutionary, non-surgical, FDA-approved procedure, which gives patients a permanent smile without having to endure surgery and eliminates partial dentures.
Do you own the exclusive rights to this procedure?
Yes, we do, for the United States. This procedure has been done for over 30 years in 28 different countries worldwide.
What kind of feedback have you been receiving from your patients?
Patients are loving their new beautiful smiles while avoiding implant surgery and not having to wear partial dentures.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Seltzer. Call M&M Dental now at 718-853-5777. That's 718-853-5777.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad, Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, we're still dealing with the fallout of the State of the Union address from Wednesday night. And Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us, and always glad to have Governor Mike Huckabee back with us, someone who understands so much of what we are dealing with because he's been in government for a good portion of his career. He's seen how the sausage is made. And, Governor, as you've said many times, it ain't pretty. Particularly when you have people that choose to spend money at a rate that we don't have. I mean, I just got off. Charmaine Yost was just with us in the last segment, and she said for the education piece, forget the whole American Families Plan Act. Just the education piece is 10 times the amount of the current entire federal budget for the education department in total. So, and that's just one piece of it, Governor.
Yes, a lot of people need to step back and ask themselves, is the agenda that Joe Biden is putting forward, is it a federal responsibility? And the answer is no. A lot of the things that he's proposing are to try to put forth programs that are state responsibilities. As a person who is a governor, the last thing governors want and need is yet another federal mandate coming at them, which maybe they'll fund it for the first 2 to 5 years, and then they back out, and states are obligated to have to continue funding it or become very unpopular because they don't continue some program that kept a lot of lobbyists in business.
Right. Well, and then, okay, and that's the substance of what we're talking about, but I want to ask you about the optics of the address on Wednesday. Now, I'm going to deal with this in my final thought in a moment, but it was the lowest rated first State of the Union address by any president of the modern era. In fact, he had fewer than half of the number of households watching as President Trump had. But when you did tune in and you saw Mitt Romney sitting up in the gallery with the face diaper on and Ted Cruz almost suffocating himself to sleep in his, I mean, Governor, these people have been fully vaccinated. In fact, they were considered so essential that they got vaccines before anybody else did. And here we have this whole pretense, this virtual signaling of, oh, you got to wear masks or you're not a good person going on. What was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is the same as it was when I saw Joe Biden on that Zoom call with all the international leaders wearing a stupid mask. And I'm thinking, Joe, I don't know if you know this, but a computer virus is not the same as a coronavirus, and you cannot get it by touching the keyboard. You can take your mask off. It is a Zoom call. You're not even in the same room with these people. But what I saw the other night was one more reminder of why a lot of Americans are not wanting to get a vaccine. Why would they take a vaccination and then still have to do all the things that they had to do when they didn't have a vaccination? And this is what I wish liberals understood. Most people in America are smarter than liberals are. And so they're being preached to, you better get a vaccination. If you don't get vaccinated, you're not a good patriot. Okay. But if I'm going to get the vaccination and I still have to limit myself to 2 or 3 people in a backyard barbecue for my immediate family and nobody else can come, if I still have to wear a mask, even if I'm outside for a run, then what's the point? It just makes no sense. And that was such political theater the other night. But instead of making us think, oh, look how caring they are and how committed they are to good health, I thought, every one of you guys are vaccinated. You look like idiots. Take the mask off and say to Americans, hey, get the vaccination. You can take your mask off.
Well, and that, in fact, it would have been one thing had the CDC not offered some updated guidance even 24 hours before. Now, they weren't saying that indoors it was okay, but the truth is, and we've had multiple medical experts on this week, the truth is, if you're fully vaccinated, you can ignore the 6-foot boundary in between people, social distancing. You can ignore the mask. You can pretty much live life the way it was prior to the pandemic and not be a personal danger to yourself or anyone else. Governor, let me switch gears a little bit because there was another. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there are some people I'd like to be socially distanced from. In fact, 6 feet is not nearly enough. I'd like to be 60 feet from them. So I'm not totally ready to give that up. There's a good excuse to say, hey, I don't want to be any closer than this to you.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair observation. Hey, speaking of something I didn't find funny at all, John Kerry this week was revealed to have basically betrayed U.S. Confidential information and Israeli national security information in his chats with Iran. We've dealt with this a couple of times this week, but you're such good friends with Netanyahu and the state of Israel. I'm just curious your reaction to what we learned about the former Secretary of State this week.
Well, if it's true, it is absolutely just stunning, and John Kerry should resign. I wonder, will Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff be calling for classified hearings and bring John Kerry in? Look, I'm going to give him a presumption of innocence and due process, something they never gave Donald Trump. They presumed he was guilty of colluding with Russia even when he wasn't, and they didn't want to give him due process. They just wanted to try it in the media. But let's give John Kerry that much, something, again, Trump never got. But here's what needs to happen. This can all go away immediately if John Kerry goes before a classified hearing, meaning it's not public, it's private.
Right.
He goes
right.
under oath, and he answers the simple questions about what he did, when he did it, and what he told them, and why. And if everything is on the up and up, then okay, it's over. But until something like that comes forth, I think John Kerry's got a great big cloud over him, and it could be a cloud big enough to block the sun and create like a real ozone depletion, and we could all die from it. So Mr. Green Energy Czar needs to come forward and let the sun shine through.
Well, and I think that if he's not willing to do that, then he leaves the admissions of the Iranian prime minister hanging. And, you know, that interview was conducted in a way that wasn't really it wasn't a gotcha for John Kerry. It was kind of he was just explaining how he came to know. And could that be a plot against Kerry? I guess, but we sure that the problem with John Kerry's explanation of all this is that it just seems to make sense with what's consistent about John Kerry's character. It sounded like something John Kerry would do, but we will wait for that investigation. Governor, what's on the big show this weekend?
Well, Mark Robinson, who is the lieutenant governor of the state of North Carolina, and a guy whose speech before a local city council went viral with millions of views. It was just powerful. Ended up becoming the lieutenant governor of the state because people said, this guy's got some common sense. And we are so excited. We're going to have him in studio this weekend. We've got Shonda Pierce, who will be with us, one of the funniest people on earth, who is the all-time best-selling female comedian in recordings, better than anyone in history. And a lot of people don't realize that about her. She's just so funny. And yeah. Michael W. Smith will be a music guest, so we're going to have a great show.
Smitty, you're bringing me back to my teen years. The very first couple of Smitty albums, it just changed my life. Anyway, have a great show this weekend, Governor. Give Michael W. Smith my best personally, please, and we will talk to you again soon.
Look forward to it, Kevin. Thank you so much.
There he goes. Huckabee today, Saturday nights, 8 and 11, and then it replays Sunday nights, 8 and 11, on the same TBN, only on cable and satellite. Check your local listings. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
When Dr. Lederman came to New York from Harvard, 97% of women in New York were losing their breasts as breast cancer treatment. But 90% of Dr. Lederman's patients with breast cancer were keeping their breasts. Dr. Lederman, an outspoken advocate of breast-saving therapy, educated women about choices. To arm every woman about breast cancer, choices, breast-saving whenever possible and desired. When every hospital thought standard radiation was okay, Dr. Lederman had a better idea. Innovative Dr. Lederman first brought brain radiosurgery to New York and body radiosurgery to America. Meet Dr. Lederman, breast-conserving therapy over decades. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Call 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, about breast cancer treatment. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid, accepted. For a fresh second opinion, call Dr. Lederman. Breast cancer treatment, call 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES. Call Dr. Lederman today, 212-CHOICES.
You need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, hoping that you have a splendid weekend and ready to charge into it with you. I hope you have a great time with family. Enjoy some of the beautiful weather. Get out there. Programming alert. I'm doing TV next week for Dr. Gina on Dr. Gina Primetime on Real America's Voice. I believe I'm scheduled for Metaxas, so we'll be with him. And Harris Faulkner has scheduled me for the Faulkner file. That's coming up Thursday in the 11 o'clock hour. So those are some places where you can see me. Of course, my weekend, well, the Radio Night Live, the other show that we do here with Salem, New York on weeknights, Christine Nicholas and I tonight, we are going to talk about everything related to the city's just announced $30 million campaign to get New York reopened. And we will be speaking with the man who will make that happen. And then tomorrow night on the national original, the OG Radio Night Live, carried by Biz TV Coast to Coast and more than 300 radio outlets across the country. You can also stream it off my Twitter page and different social media, etc. That will be a great show. We are going to talk to a man who lost all four limbs in multiple deployments in Afghanistan and in Iraq. His name is Sergeant Travis Mills. He's going to tell his story firsthand. And then Adrian Arsht, who gave a huge amount of money to the Met here in New York City to help their interns get paid, is going to join us and talk to us about why that's important. And then new music from Mercy Me, all on the weekend version of Radio Night Live. So I hope you'll check that out as well. Now, final thought for today. The ratings are in. Nearly 27 million people watched President Biden's first formal address to a joint session of, quote, Congress on Wednesday night. A large audience for some saying these days, but much smaller than similar speeches by presidents, according to the data from Nielsen. In fact, the New York Times writer that covered this is working very hard today to try to make you think that what they did on Wednesday night actually was significant. The Oscars telecast all-time low this week, 9 million viewers. It obviously beat that. But when you consider that it drew well short of Bill Clinton's first address, watched by 67 million people, President Obama had 52 million at his first address in 2009. George W. Bush drew 40 million in 2001, and that was before the 9/11 attacks. And then Donald Trump's speech, 48 million. He didn't even draw. He drew barely more than half of that in total. So what you have here is you have Mr. Biden doing his first State of the Union address, and almost no one in the country thinking it was very important. Certainly didn't rate high enough to be paid attention to. But that didn't stop some of the propaganda in the media realm, because Ben Dominic, Fox News contributor, said it was a political blip. That's probably very accurate. But MSNBC anchor Brian Williams, remember the disgraced Brian Williams? He called it Rooseveltian in size and scope. Well, if you're talking about just sheer money that they're promising to spend, yes, I guess it was. It barely it beat out the New Deal in terms of largesse. One interesting note for Fox News, they had the lowest ratings of all the networks for the primetime address, but they saw a surge of viewership following the speech. In fact, they had more people join their post coverage than ABC, a broadcast network, had for the evening in total. So, you know, there's going to be different people saying who won and who lost. Mostly the nation just didn't really care, considering that we have 300 million consumers that could have totally been tuned in, and instead 27 million were all that they could get. And that, sadly, was even my 3.5 minutes that I gave right in the middle of it on a commercial break from something else that I was watching. Yeah, I caught up to it later online, but it just didn't matter. And it underperformed by half all other presidents of the modern era. But he was the most popular guy to ever be elected, right? He was the number one most all-time vote getter, right? That makes sense, right? Really? It makes sense, right?